Okay, before I open up the floor to discussion, I'm going to just make a couple of announcements. For one thing, we've talked about OCAT being a small group. Well, it's, you know, less than 10, and this room costs money. And so, of course, I'm going to make a pitch for funds to at least cover the costs of the room, cover some of John's expenses getting up here. As Heidi was saying, our first kind of meeting beyond the 10 people is going to happen next Wednesday, July 31st, at the PSAC building, which is that big round-shaped building at Gilmore and Metcalf. From 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, the meeting's on the ground floor. Come on down, because, you know, we're looking for, you know, ideas. Bring your ideas in terms of, what you think could be done in Ottawa to support the campaign for economic disruption as a start. I mean, just because we're going after Harris doesn't mean Jacques Chrétien and the other pals that are up the street, we're not going to forget them either. So you can bring those ideas. The other thing, before I open it up to discussion, we know that John is incredibly popular with the police in Toronto and in Whitby. And I'm going to assume that there's one here from Ottawa's Finest, just to keep tabs on John being the dangerous terrorist that he is. So for those of you out there, assume that the police is in the room. Now may not be the time to talk about that wonderful direct action thing that was highly illegal and admitting to doing it. Maybe not such a good idea today. Anyway, so you've been warned. So I'll open it up for discussion. I think I'll start by taking it first come, first serve, and if I see the gender parity or other kinds of parity, or if somebody's hogging the speaking list too much, I will intervene to keep the discussion flowing, if that's all right. Are you the first person on the list, or did you want to make a point of order? Okay. No, well, I haven't started one yet. And if you want to speak up, because the acoustics in this room aren't bad, but, you know, speak up anyway. Et puis encore, si vous voulez vous exprimer en français, allez-y, je vais faire l'interprète pour que vos idées puissent être transmises au grand public. Okay? So, there we go. Okay, Kevin. Well. You want to? Okay, John will be the mic guy.
Can I just use this one?
Mr. Park, thanks very much for coming. I really like the idea you put to bringing high school students out. I think young people don't have enough chance to exercise democracy, and more now is happening to them that affects them than ever. I also give young people a great deal of credit for knowing what time it is, for sure. My experience in the past, though, with what you refer to as token protesting, is that occasionally there will be encouragement to young people who may or may not have their anxieties articulated to cross a line and maybe throw something or maybe do something that'll get them arrested, and then that can have big implications on what happens to them in their future. That, you know what I mean? That myself having a couple of criminal convictions. What do you say to somebody who's worried about doing economic disruption, who's worried about that aspect of it? And I guess with respect to young people who are, you know, may have more things to say.
Maybe what I'll do is take a few speakers and, you know, give them a chance to come back a couple of times, you know, to get in as much discussion from you guys as we can. Dan. And if I go like this, it means it's time to kind of wrap up.
My name is Dan, and one thing I really value is, I'm employed and on social assistance, and I just would like to go to school. And I believe in the right to an education, and I can see in this province, if you don't have the money, forget it, right? Like, if you go to OSAP, all you're going to get is a loan. Once upon a time, you used to get a grant and a loan. Those days are over, and I'm just upset about that. So the direct action I thought of doing, since I strongly believe in an education and getting, you know, trained, getting some training to get back into the workforce and getting a job, I thought, why don't I just go to Carleton or go to Algonquin and go where I want to go, and why don't I just walk in there, walk into the classroom and sit in that classroom and then be told, excuse me, have you signed up for this course? No, I believe in the right to an education. I'm coming here, I'm going to sit in this classroom, and fuck you. You have to throw me out. So have you ever thought of this? This is a thought I had in my head of just taking action. Hey, we all deserve a right to an education. Everyone in this room, I think we should just go down there, go in the classroom, and sit there, and get our education. I'd like a response from that.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks. Not sure if you can hear me. I wanted to ask whether the organizers of this campaign of economic disruption have thought about the possible negative consequences of this electorally. Glenn Wheeler from Now magazine writes very astutely about the way that the Harris government, in particular, uses protests as a wedge to increase their support amongst the part of the political universe that supports them anyway. I've never voted conservative. I never will. I think that there are many positive things about what we're talking about tonight, but the people who did vote for Harris likely don't. And so I'm wondering that, in terms of the folks who organized this event, have you thought about the effect that this might have? In particular, because I'm probably not alone in thinking that common wisdom is that Dalton McGuinty is the premier in waiting. And as Jamie Heath says, that's blue light. So I'm just wondering, when we're talking about fighting to win, what does that mean? Does that mean to win the election? Personally, I don't think the government's going to resign. I don't think they're all going to sort of step down and say, you've won. I think where the fight is in the next election. So I'm wondering if you thought about what this protest is going to do in terms of that.
Okay, we'll take one more and then maybe I'll let Heidi and John respond. Yeah, we'll take that.
This isn't so much of a question, it's just a point. Not too long ago, a week or two ago, I was watching on TV, I think it was on CPAC, I think it was even live, where Mike Harris was being questioned by other people. He decided to get in and call a meeting to find out why the tragedy in Walker didn't happen. And I don't know if you realize, but he said that, he's being questioned by various people, and he said he actually accepted that politically he was, if he is found that his government did things or didn't do things that resulted in the Washington tragedy, he politically is responsible. He did actually admit that. I'm not saying, that makes him a great guy, but just saying that I think he probably realizes that he does have some load on his shoulders about this. If it turns out he is, his government is responsible.
I'd like to make a response to... I'd like to make a response to the question and the statement about free education. You're welcome to attend my class anytime. We're almost over, but I certainly don't go around and police people, but I think you're absolutely right. I think education is a fundamental right and shouldn't be based upon your parents' bank account or any other sorts of economic restrictions, absolutely. And I think it's quite sad that a lot of people believe how great this country is when, in fact, more students are becoming increasingly in debt just for getting a bachelor's degree and then not being able to pay back their loans because they're not getting the jobs that they're promised to get once they get their education. So it's a huge problem. However, if we moved to France, right, we wouldn't have to pay for an education in terms of huge, huge financial responsibilities. So it is possible. It does happen. But I think that's something else that we're definitely going to have to fight for. And until then, keep attending those university classes.
Okay, so there are a couple of points I'd like to respond to. First of all, the question of risk. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. First of all, the question of risk was asked. If people are going to be involved in actions, the possibility of being arrested, criminal record, and that kind of stuff. I think it's very important that we organise in such a way that people are not misled about what they're going into. That's the first thing. I think wherever possible, we want to be able to organise in such a way that people can engage in activities at a level where they don't run the risk of arrest and consequences where that's possible. Although, today, in terms of mobilising, we have to realise our own limitations. The reaction to protest, the reaction to demonstration increasingly is very virulent on the part of the authorities. And so I think it needs to be said that we do everything we can to protect people, we do everything we can to ensure people go into things with their eyes open, but there's no guarantees. There is unquestionably risk in challenging an agenda like that of the Harris government, and we shouldn't kid ourselves or deceive anybody on that point. The other question that was, I think, very important, the point that was raised, was the question of will this movement boost the support of the Tories amongst its own electoral base? And I think the answer to that is not if it's devastating enough. You see, it seems to me that in terms of the Tories at the moment, there's the question of mobilising and winning the support of a larger and growing base of the population. But there's also a question of neutralising the support that they have. Neutralising primarily the corporate backers, but also neutralising that base they have in the population. And I think when people start to see that, generally speaking, there's a vast section of the population that is not prepared to tolerate what the Tories are doing and is prepared to take action against them, and that the consequences of a continuing Tory government is very disruptive, then I think you can start to neutralise that base of support. There'll be some diehards who will cling to them no matter what, but that's just too bad. The point was also made about, this government can't actually be defeated. I make no predictions about the nature of the struggle in October, that's yet to be decided. But, you know, when Berlusconi in Italy, the last time he was driven from office was 1994, and when the union started to organise their general strike and all the community mobilisation started to happen, he made a statement that not one, not ten, not a thousand general strikes will make me change my mind. Before it was all over, the leading financial newspapers of the most powerful interests were saying that Berlusconi was a bungler who needed to get out. And I don't think such a scenario is at all impossible here. And finally, McGuinty may be the premier in waiting, I don't know. And one of the deficiencies of our movement is that I don't know that we have electoral alternatives we could really unite around at this particular moment, to be quite frank. But the reality is, however, the reality is that I think were we able to take this government on, render its agenda unenforceable, and actually arrive at the point where we could drive them from office, the government that came next would face an ascendant and a powerful social movement that was ready to challenge them from a position of strength. It wouldn't end the corporate agenda, but it would certainly strengthen our hand against it.
Thank you. The bag has gone around, and I know that most of you, if not all of you, put some money in, so that's great. Just to let you know, anything over and above the expenses for this meeting will go to the OCAP Legal Defense Fund to cover their costs, which are mounting every day. All right. Next, did you have your hand up? Yeah, okay. In the back.
You mentioned